knows about it. God has done a great rescue job in our lives. A rescue far more amazing than anything we've ever seen on television. You can read about that in Psalm 40, the opening verses of Psalm 40. David says, the first king of Israel says, the famous king of Israel says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit and set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. David describes himself as being at the bottom of a pit. Obviously, he's talking in poetic language. As far as we know, David was never in a literal pit. In those days, muggers would attack a man, rob him of his money, and then throw him down a disused well shaft to die. It was an awful thing. And David takes hold of that picture and uses it to describe his spiritual condition before he became a believer. He was down in the horrible, slimy pit. Can you think of anything more terrible, more alarming, than being trapped in a deep pit? A disused well shaft, the bottom of which is thick with slime and mud, and you can't get out. That's how we all were before we became Christians. That's how you still are if you are not a Christian. So what does it mean, in the slimy pit? Let me spell it out. It means that before we become Christians, we are dirty in the sight of God. The person who's fallen down or been thrown down a well shaft with a lot of mud at the bottom is bound to be dirty. And that's our spiritual condition if we're not Christians. Dirty in the sight of God. Guilty and defiled by sin. You may not like me for saying that, but I know how you feel. When someone told me way back in 1960 that I was dirty and guilty in the sight of God, I was very annoyed. Who does this fellow think he is, describing me like that? But in my heart of hearts, I knew it was true. We've all broken God's laws. We've all disobeyed God. We've all done wrong. Not blatant things, maybe, like lust and immorality, but we've all fallen into the slimy pit of sin. Selfishness and greed and covetousness and lies and pride, jealousy, being mean. We are all sinful in the sight of God. I look back at my life before I became a Christian, and it fills me with shame. One of the things I hate most is the bitterness. I desperately wanted to go into the sixth form at the City of Norwich School, but my parents were so poor they couldn't afford to buy yet another school blazer. My father worked hard to pay the rent to a crook of a landlord, and there was no money left for buying clothes for school. So I had to leave school and get some work, while all those kids from wealthy families seemed to have it handed to them on a plate. I had to work hard, 50 hours a week, to try and help my parents survive. And I became bitter about that, and very angry within. And I got into trouble with a wild gang. And there I was, in the mud and the mire, dirty before God. And that's true of everyone by nature. You may not have done the things that I did in that wild gang, but every person who is not Christian is still dirty in the sight of God because of pride and jealousy and greed. And most of all, because we pushed God into the background of our lives. And then this man down in the pit, he's in danger, isn't he? He's in the mire at the bottom of the well shaft. He's sinking deeper and deeper into the mire. And if something doesn't happen, he'll just die there. He'll starve to death, or die of exposure, or just drown and choke in the mire. He's in terrible danger. And that's how we were before we became Christians. That's how you are, my friend, if you're not a Christian. In grave danger. You see, this world is not all there is. This life is not all there is. One day we've got to die, all of us. And it may be sooner than we think. All of us must face the judgment of God beyond death. This world is not the end. Life is not all there is. There's a judgment to be faced, an eternity to be spent, either in heaven or in hell. And if you're not a Christian, when you come to die, you'll be in great, great danger. A place called hell. You say, I don't believe such nonsense. Richard Dawkins doesn't believe it. Neither do I. But my friend, it doesn't matter. What do you believe? Or what Richard Dawkins believes? It doesn't matter. It's what God says that matters. And God has said, he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. God has said that. The day is fixed when he will judge the world in righteousness. And if we're not Christians, then we will be ushered away into this terrible place called hell. The man down the pit, he's dirty and he's in danger. And also he or she is desperate. In this sense, they are trapped and they can't save themselves. They're up to their knees, up to their waist, in mud, in thick mud. And it's got hold of them. And they can't get out. That's how we were before we became Christians. Trapped by sin. Unable to save ourselves. I remember in the sad days before I became a Christian, I knew it was wrong to curse and swear so much. I knew it was wrong to lie and cheat and steal and do the vile things I was doing. I tried hard to give it up, but I couldn't. It had got me trapped. The more I tried to lift myself out of the mire, the deeper I went in. And that is still the position of any person who's not a Christian. Trapped in sin. It is one of the biggest problems confronting Great Britain at the present time. The drug addiction. The rise in binge drinking. The collapse of morals. The rise in sexually transmitted diseases. The greed of the bankers. The number of people on the fiddle in business, in politics. The lust for pornography. The salacious craving of many people to read about the sordid lives of some of these footballers or film stars. Why do people want to read all that nonsense? But there is this salacious desire to read these sordid stories. It's all part of this business of being trapped in the pit of sin. And the pride and the jealousy. I've met people who've never been immoral in their lives, but they're eaten up by jealousy and bitterness and pride. The underlying problem is that men and women by nature are trapped and gripped by sin in the mire, and they can't get out. You see what a desperate plight it is. This man cannot save himself. He's fallen in. He's injured. He hasn't got the strength to pull himself out. That's a picture of the desperate hopelessness and helplessness of the non-Christian. He cannot save himself. He hasn't got the power to save himself. He may muster up all his energy. He may make his New Year resolutions to live a better life, to drink less, to smoke less. He may make all of these wonderful resolutions, but he hasn't got the power to see them through. Trapped in the pit of sin. Now there are some folks who try to encourage us to do better. Some religious people will tell you to do your best and try your hardest to live a better life. Do as many good deeds as possible. Become religious. Make a New Year's resolution to be better. Go to Mass more. Go to the mosque more. Go to chapel more. Do your best. Try your hardest to improve your life. That's like standing at the top of a disused well shaft and shouting to the man down there, try harder. Try harder, matey. And pull yourself out of the mud. He can't do it. He can't do it. He's trapped. Well, there we are. That's the picture of the wretched, rotten state we were in before we became Christians. Those 999 programs on television began by describing the terrible position the victim is in. The boy lying injured on the rocks. The woman trapped in a burning house. You won't grasp the wonder of the rescue. You won't grasp the dramatic nature of the rescue until you realize the desperate plight the person was in. And we won't realize the wonderful rescue that the Lord has done for us until we realize the desperate plight we were in. Having seen the picture of the wretched state we were in, we can now look at the rescue. The Lord has rescued us. David says, he lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. And if we're Christians, we can say those words. God has rescued us. And if you become a Christian this morning, you'll be able to say those words. You'll be able to say on the 8th of January, 2012, in that building at Netley, God rescued me. The Lord saved me. I was in a terrible state, but he came to my rescue. Let's look at this rescue. If we're Christians, he's rescued us from the grip of sin. There we were, down in the mire. It had us trapped. It was dragging us down. We tried hard to get free. The resolutions we made. Sunday after Sunday, when I was a wild youth, Sunday after Sunday, I went to church. And Sunday after Sunday, I vowed I would live a better life. I went to the kind of church where the minister told us to try and do our best to make our lives better. Poor man, he didn't realize how deep the pit I was in. He didn't realize how helpless I was. So Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, the messages we got were these: try harder, do better, try to love God more. He didn't realize how hopeless I was. But one Sunday, a man came along to preach who sounded a different note. And the different note he sounded was this. He told us, this was rare in the church where I went, he told us that there was someone who had come to rescue us. He told us that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to be our Savior, to rescue us from the pit. This was a different note. And that was a wonderful day in my life when he told me how someone had come from heaven to rescue me from this pit of sin. The Lord Jesus Christ. That was a wonderful day in my life. It was like being set free from the pit, set free from the mire. One of the hymns we sing sometimes puts it in a slightly different way. A hymn written by Charles Wesley, "Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light, my chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee." And my friend, the Lord can do the same for you. Are you gripped by some sin? Pride may be, selfishness may be, greed may be, jealousy may be, bad language may be, pornography may be. Are you gripped, mastered by some sin? Are you stuck fast in the mud? You've tried hard to lift yourself out, but to no avail. The good news is that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to lift you out of that pit. He's got the strength to do so. Then he's rescued us from the guilt of sin. There we were, guilty, defiled, dirty because of sin. When you're rescued from a pit, you're covered with muck and mire. But the Lord Jesus Christ has rescued us, saved us from the guilt of sin. He's washed away our guilt and our filth. All that filthy, slimy pride and jealousy and greed and envy and selfishness and idolatry. All those dreadful years of ignoring God and living for self. He's able to wash away the guilt of all of that. If you're not a Christian this morning, it's my privilege to be able to tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to save you not only from the grip of sin, but from the guilt of sin. Then, of course, as Christians, we've been rescued from perishing. We've been rescued from danger. We've been rescued from certain doom. We've been rescued from hell. David puts it in this dramatic way. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. That is what God has done for those of us who are Christians. Can I tell you how the Lord has done this? Did you notice what David said? He lifted me out of the slimy pit. Some versions of the Bible have a slightly different translation. Some versions of the Bible say, "He brought me up out of the horrible pit." He brought me up out of the horrible pit. David doesn't say, "He told me how to get myself out of the pit." David doesn't even say, "He pulled me out of the pit." He brought me up. And the picture there is of a rescuer going down the well shaft, taking hold of the poor, wounded, helpless victim, and bringing him up. And that's a wonderful picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ did in order to rescue us. He came down into the filthy pit. He came down the well shaft and brought us up out of it. Now, in the New Testament, the second half of the Bible, in a book called Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 5, this 40th Psalm is applied to the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming into this world. In other words, it tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, left heaven, where all is perfect, and came down to this foul, sinful world. He left heaven and came down into this pit of sin. Most other religions stand at the top of the well shaft and shout instructions to the poor people wallowing below. They tell us to try harder, to be more religious, to do more good works, to do our best. They stand at the top of the well shaft shouting instructions down to us. The minister of that church I went to as a youth, that's what he did most Sundays. He stood at the well shaft top. He was
too polite to shout.
Whispering instructions to those of us who are trapped at the bottom. He didn't realize how deep the pit was. But the wonder of the Christian faith is this, that Jesus Christ left heaven and came to this world. I said reverently, God lowered him into the pit, and how he suffered when he came down into this pit of sin. A rescuer going down a well shaft to rescue someone gets bruised and battered and dirty. And when the Lord Jesus Christ left heaven and came into this pit of sin, he got dirty and bruised. He didn't sin himself. He never sinned himself. He was perfect. But he took upon himself our sin and our guilt and our filth. And he was wounded and bruised. He died upon a cross to bear the punishment of sin in our place. The punishment due to sinners like us, he took upon himself. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. You see, he left heaven. He came down into this pit where we were. He got dirty. Our sin was laid upon him. And he got injured. He died for us. And in that way, he's lifted us up out of the pit. And that is what happens when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He brings you up out of the pit. That is the wonder of Christianity. One of the hymns in some hymn books is this: in loving kindness Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim, and from the depths of sin and shame, in love he lifted me. That is what God has done for those of us who are Christians. That is what God can do for you, my friend, this morning, if you're not a Christian. Well, thank God the Lord has done more than that for us. He's not only rescued us from danger, he's put us in a very safe place. David says, he set my feet upon a rock. If you lift someone up out of a filthy pit, where they've been trapped for many, many days, then you take very great care of them. When you get them out of the pit, they'll be very unsteady, they'll be very weak, so you must stand them on a nice, firm piece of ground so they can get their footing. And this phrase is telling us that the Lord Jesus Christ has not only lifted us up out of the pit, he's put us in a place of safety and security. A place where we can enjoy all his care and support and protection. That's our position as Christians. Not only have we been brought up out of the pit, we've been put in a place of safety and security where the Lord watches over us day by day. You see, the Christian life is not always easy. Difficulties come. Trials come. People mock us. People laugh at us. People oppose us. The Christian life is not always easy. And if we were left to ourselves, we would fall back down that well shaft. There have been times as a Christian when, like an idiot, I've gone dangerously near the top of that well shaft and have almost fallen in again. Can I just say a word about that? There are those who say it's okay for the Christian, indeed that it's good for the Christian, to watch slimy films and to read slimy books and to go to slimy websites on the computer. They say this will help us to understand how the man of the world lives, so there's nothing wrong in doing that. But if you've been rescued from the pit, if you've been really rescued, you will want to stay as far away from danger as you possibly can. Besides, that's quite foolish, that kind of argument, that in order to understand how the man of the world is living, you've got to do these things yourselves. You might as well say that in order to understand the adulterer, you've got to commit adultery. You might equally well say, in order to understand the drug addict, you've got to take drugs, have a fix. That's madness. That is lunacy. If you've been rescued from the pit, stay away from it as far as possible. All you need to know is it's filthy and slimy down there, and you don't want to go there. The point I'm making is this, that when the Lord Jesus Christ lifts us up out of the pit, he sets our feet in a firm and secure place, a place of safety. And he keeps us safe. And if we're not foolish, we'll stay in that safe and secure place. But he does more than that. In this phrase, he gave me a firm place to stand, there's a suggestion there that he set our feet in the right direction. He set our steps in the right direction. He's put our feet on the road to heaven. If you bring someone up out of a pit, they'll be a bit confused for a while. They won't get their bearings right. So when you bring someone up out of the pit, you set them in the right direction, walking away from the pit in the direction, right direction. And the Lord Jesus Christ, having brought us up out of the pit, has set us in a firm place, and he set our feet in the right direction. We're now on our way to heaven. We've got a work to do for the Lord Jesus Christ in this world, but we're on our way to heaven. And if you become a Christian, the moment you become a Christian, the Lord Jesus Christ sets your feet on the path to heaven. This glorious realm. Then, in addition to that, the Lord Jesus Christ puts a new song into our mouths, a hymn of praise to our God. That's what we're told here. Now, in those 999 programs, they often ended with an interview with the person who'd been rescued. And the person who'd been rescued was full of praise for the emergency services. The fire brigade, how wonderful they were. The police, the ambulance men, the lifeboat men, the coast guards, how wonderful they were to bring about this rescue. And the rescued person was full of praise to the person who rescued them. And when we become Christians, the Lord Jesus Christ puts a new song into our mouths, even praise to our God. The songs I sang as an unbeliever, driving home from the pub, were vile and crude and horrible. The song that the Lord Jesus Christ has put in my heart and my lips as a Christian are full of praise to God. Praise my soul, the King of heaven. Who like you, his praise should sing. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like you, his praise should sing. Immortal honors rest on Jesus' head. My God, my portion, and my living bread. In him I live. Upon him cast my care. He saves from death, destruction, and despair. When you become a Christian, there's a new song in your mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. If you've been rescued, praise the Lord, my friend. If you've been rescued, every day you live, you should be singing praises to God. And seek to show that you've been rescued. Did you notice that here? A new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. So when you've been brought up out of the pit, people should be able to see that you've been rescued. All our talking will be in vain. All our preaching will be in vain unless people can see that something has happened to us. David says, put a new song in my mouth, many will see it and fear the Lord. If you have been rescued, then praise the Lord day by day and live as someone who's been rescued from the terrible pit. If you haven't been rescued, if you're not saved yet, then cry out to the Lord to have mercy upon you. That's what David did. He says here, I waited patiently for the Lord. Literally, waiting, I waited for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. David realized he was in dire straits. The man down the pit realizes he's in desperate plight. He realizes that he needs someone to save him. So he cries out, and David says, I cried out to the Lord,